You're jumping into CKCU programming through our audio archive, supported by you, the listener.
Check. Good morning, and welcome back to the Underground Ottawa on the mighty CKCU 93.1 FM. I'm your host, Graham Digby. This is my second episode. I'm airing at this time every other week. The Underground Ottawa is a show where I explore different niches within Ottawa's musical underground. And this week, I decided to explore a niche that I was more or less unfamiliar with until recently, a niche that's been emerging in Ottawa's punk scene, and a niche that's been stirring some controversy as of late. How I found out about this community is a funny story, actually. Basically, one day in late August, I was looking for shows to go to and something to do because it was my birthday. And I saw a post from the band Candy Boys saying they were performing that night at a house venue. I decided to go because there was nothing else going on that night, and I showed up, and I was fooled. more like I fooled myself, because the show had already happened the night before, and I was a day late, and I missed it. But the owners of the house let me in, and we got talking about the music community surrounding this particular house. And at one point, they subtly said that the band in the house makes incelcore music. I was sort of put off by this because I've never met musicians who so openly embrace incel culture. And I've always avoided thinking about or associating myself at all with incels. If you don't know what incel means, it stands for involuntarily celibate, and it refers to a community of people who identify with their inability to find sexual partners, and they tend to express a lot of angst and hatred towards women online. As I stated before, not something I'd ever want to engage in. Regardless, there was something about this house venue and the community I stumbled across that intrigued me, since Quentin, who I met, was super kind and open, and he said he wasn't using incelcore as a way to lash out at women at all, but rather as a way to reflect on and express how the internet has affected our generation and our relationship to love as a whole. So I decided to learn more by interviewing the band for this show, The Underground Ottawa, and my goal was to neither praise this band and their message, nor to look down on them and scoff on them, but to help start conversations about how people in my generation, I'm 23, how people in my generation have been affected by living a majority of their lives online, and how people are expressing this through music. I also wanted to figure out how this community fits into the underground music scene in Ottawa as a whole. I was digging around to find more about the band, which is called Dead Virgins, and I came across a Reddit post from July 2024, posted by Willie7 in r/Ottawa, that started an interesting debate. To start digging into this topic, I'm going to read this Reddit post and then play the song Caitlin by Dead Virgins and then jump right to an interview with the band. As a warning, there are topics that come up in this episode you may find disturbing, such as self-harm, suicide, violence, hate, and misogyny. I don't excuse any hateful rhetoric, and during this episode, I encourage listeners to reflect and start conversations about this stuff. Talk to your friends and people around you. So here goes. A quote from Willie7 in r/Ottawa. seen these posters directing people to deadcell.me with a picture of Jordan Peterson around Centertown. The website seems to be advertising a concert in August with this local Ottawa incelcore music band called, like, 400 Million Dead Virgins. Their website has a bunch of edgy incel rhetoric and jokes about women not being allowed to their concerts. Also, references to Elliot Rodger, I am perplexed. 1. Is this a real band? 2. Is this an ironic internet culture thing, or are these people actually misogynistic and pro-incel violence? 3. Are there any issues with hateful incel rhetoric spreading in Ottawa? Does this have traction at the universities? Hello, Dead Virgins. Welcome to the show. Can you all introduce yourselves and what you play in the band?
Hi, I'm Kasmer. I play the drums.
I'm Q. I play guitar and bass.
And I am frontman and lead incel, Sean.
To start things off, I'm going to restate the questions from the Reddit thread. So, first off, is this a real band?
Yes, we play music and stuff.
Yeah, we're a real band. We play, we have, how many songs do we have? Like seven now?
Eight
songs, yeah.
Is this an ironic internet culture thing, or are these people actually misogynistic and pro-incel violence?
It's mostly the first one. We're all deep internet from our youth. You know, we've been on the internet for a very long time, and we're sort of a little rotted by it, I think. And at the same time, it is an incel thing because, well, we didn't invent the genre of incelcore, and we're all just, like, big fans of it. So we sort of play into its aesthetics. But at the very core, it's pretty ironic.
Are there any issues with hateful incel rhetoric spreading in Ottawa? Does this have traction at the universities?
Yeah, it's everywhere. I go to class in philosophy, and we go into tutorials, and people are just like, women these days, I can't stand them. What do you think? You really think people care? You really think people are talking about this?
I think that, personally, from my experience of being associated with the scene, people really hate incels, actually. It's generally a very negative reaction to them. And
it's really
so
bad for our branding.
Yeah, it's actually terrible for our branding, and we have to really explain ourselves every single time people bring it up.
I remember bringing up at a bar one time, at Ollie's, with, like, I was sitting with Sean, and some girl asked what genre of music we made, and we're like, yeah, Noosh. Noosh goes to our shows. She's great. And we're just, like, sitting with her, and she's like, what music do you make? And then Sean and I look at each other, and we're like, incel core? And she went like, yeah.
It's generally when we tell people the genre name, it's like the reaction is very, very visceral and negative. That's why we do it to be off-putting, pretty much. None of us are actually incels, unfortunately. We all have girlfriends.
What was your first reaction when you saw the Reddit post and the thread that followed?
Yo, we had a big laugh. Yeah, it was so funny. Yeah. Euphoric. Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah, it's freaking euphoric. It was so funny. It's kind of like we knew we were like an uncancelable band because the people that would not want to see us weren't going to participate in the scene anyway. And people that were in the scene like already liked us. So we just thought it was funny and just a good way to advertise the band.
We played into it hella. We got the Reddit and we're just like, yeah, we're crazy. All the rumors are true. I remember Sean and I were putting up posters, and I think we met the guy who made the Reddit post because he kind of like followed us around. We were putting up posters, and then he's like, are you guys like copying Sam Hyde? Like, are you guys like, this guy started talking about Sam Hyde just randomly.
Who's Sam Hyde?
Sam Hyde is a internet comedian who was funny. He's a dangerous terrorist. He was an internet comedian who was funny about 15 years ago. Yeah. Like, really funny. He's not really funny anymore, and he sort of pivoted to doing right-wing stuff, yeah, which is pretty lame. But we were all fans of his early work.
Yeah. We're in an era now where there's a whole generation of people who have been chronically online for basically their whole lives and are now, like, at the age where they're making art about it and reflecting on it and bringing it into mainstream consciousness. And, like, how do you think punk is changing in the era of brain rot and people being chronically online and consumed by technology and internet culture and stuff?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that come with it. I think people understand that you can have multiple personas. People are using ironic modes of expression a lot more. This is not just with incelcore, this is with like everything. And they're also drawing a lot of influences from artists from like the 90s or like, even older would never be able to draw influences from because distance, or they were never even able to make music because now it's easier to make music and all this stuff. So there's a lot of music, and I find like a lot of people in the punk scene have like crazy specific tastes and like are into like really niche things. Not to be hipsters or anything, but just because they're online and they spend all their time online. And then also there's like the humor, and that's where we're kind of coming from, because like incelcore is really like a online genre.
I've been into incelcore for a really long time, okay? And it's like a comedy act as well as a punk music act. Like, it's supposed to be kind of funny and tongue-in-cheek. Like, I listen to every single song, like, from Death Tech, which is more scenecore and electronic, to, like, the Fried by Fluoride and the Negative XP. Like, Negative XP has a song called MK Ultra Victim, okay? Like, it's very unserious, very, very silly. There's a girl who makes incelcore music named Jezebel, and she has a whole album about, like, a snail man that exists in her, like, schizophrenic nightmare. Like, it's just all funny jokes, and it's, like, that's really online humor to a T. It's, like, you start with the comedy, and it's just for being funny, and then maybe something serious comes out of it, and that's kind of what happened to the genre. A lot of these artists are moving on to more traditional, more brand-friendly music, which is killing the comedy part. But at the same time, I have a lot of love for those, like, older days when it was just unserious and kind of silly, but also people were putting a lot of effort into that music and it was good.
It seems like what you're doing is a really interesting reaction of sorts to far-right ideologies and incel culture. Can you describe your relationship with far-right groups and their ideologies?
I can speak right now that we are against racism, sexism, homophobia, any kind of like hate. All that shit sucks. But somehow we're also all in an incel core band. I wonder why.
Yeah, I guess in what ways do you sort of see this as a reaction to that culture rather than like actually being a part of that culture?
That's a good question. I think incelcore has the people think it's like a far right movement because there's a lot of crazy people in it. Most of that just comes from like online, and people just are uncensored online and just vocal minority. I think there's a lot of people that align with feeling alone and are sexually frustrated or hate dating culture. Which is like a fairly good criticism of what's going on right now, and like align themselves, orient themselves to that kind of sense. So I don't know why we can't like take that back and like redefine it as, you know, yes, we are fucking sexually frustrated. We are sexually frustrated people. This world, this modern culture has repressed us, and have fun doing it by making music. It doesn't have to be associated with alt-right at all.
Right.
It would be really strange, I think, for a right-wing outfit to be as popular as it is with a lot of left-leaning people. Our entire crowd is, like, extremely homosexual. Yeah, very queer. I think it's very obvious that, like, I mean, good art and art that is good is usually progressive. I mean, the left has, like, taken over art and culture. And I think the reason why we make music in part and believe in music is because of our progressive views. I think music is a communication that we really care about, and we want people to listen. We want people to get a good thing out of it. I think if you're worried about incels, the worst thing for an incel is to stay inside. The best thing for an incel is to go outside. I think everyone agrees. People who are terminally online, they're always like, go touch grass or whatever the fuck, right? Like, that's the whole point. If you're talking about, like, the positive outfit or the positive thing of the band, we're getting people outside talking to people. They're finding a niche. They're getting outside and talking to people that they wouldn't have talked to otherwise. I think it just totally ruins your incel progress, your incel views, if you're like, oh, like, there's this black pill that I'm doomed to fucking die alone or whatever the fuck. you go outside and talk to somebody and you're like, wait, never mind. I'm not doomed to die alone. I just was never talking to anybody real.
So would you say part of the goal of your music is to start those conversations, to have people discussing things like this?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We think we're anti-hookup culture, for sure. It's a big thing for us. And we want people to make these like sort of judgments. And it's to start conversations like this, and it's as an outlet for our sexual frustrations, just with modernity in general.
Girls seem to f*** with the message, too. They hate dating culture, too. I mean, it's just, it's worse for them. So, to be honest with you, like, the response has just been, like, clearly the we hate women bit is the joke. But I guess, like, the what's not a joke is that, man, this hookup shit, these dating apps suck, and we hate them.
More like, I would say more like, the modern society's like relationship with love and like dating is all backwards and broken.
Is what you're doing at all a response to the state of the hardcore scene right now, or to the state of Ottawa culture and Ottawa music?
Yes.
We hate
indie music, and God, Ottawa music. God damn, dude.
But yeah, there's like no actual hardcore scene here. There used to be one in the 90s that was pretty alive and well. Hardcore is also like very left. I don't think they would want to even entertain an incel core band. But our stylings, because me personally and my brother come from very like post-hardcore, emotional hardcore roots, our music actually more aligns with those genres musically, like sonically, than it does like incelcore. To call yourself incelcore, though, all you need is to talk about, I guess, kind of
funny.
You got to talk about like being alone and depressed, and maybe have a little bit of a woman anti-woman sentiment. I don't know. I wouldn't say that's a good way to say it, because it's hard to define.
It would be interesting to get everyone's definition of incel core, because everyone changes. Sean's changes all the time. Quinn's changes all the time. Mine will always be, it's supposed to be funny, it's supposed to be ironic, and it uses edgy humor, like, oh, we fucking hate women, as a hook, as a draw in, and the music is about whining and crying, and you go up on stage. Sean's a perfect frontman for this. He sells it perfectly. He whines, he cries on stage, and that's funny. He's just like, man, I don't get any pussy, man. Like, he's just like, it's funny. It's comedic. It's funny to be like whiny like that. He's a bit of a clown on stage, and he's perfect for it. And that's the soul of incelcore. It's like, it's literally just a clown show.
Would you say a lot of the people who are against your music, do you think these are people who come to shows, or is it people?
100%. These aren't people that even associate in the Ottawa scene at all. I want to make that clear. Like, people,
even the boring like indie stuff, they don't go to those. Like, they're not going. It's older people who don't participate in the local music scene at all.
Yeah, you had a good thing about policing it. Like, do you just want to police it?
Yeah, it's. I think it's more of like, for them, it's more of like an easy endorphin boost. Like, they feel like they're cleaning the streets of our filth or whatever, when they would never even participate or support a local band regularly. So it's, they have no business sticking their nose in what we do. That's sort of how we see it. But they just, a lot of people in Ottawa think that they're the moral police.
They don't even speak the language, yet they think they can, you know, police it. Yeah.
I find it kind of ironic that incelcore is so baked in internet culture, and yet your band doesn't use social media. Like, nice. What's your band's relationship with social media?
Social media is a clout chamber, echo chamber, honeypot. It's the worst place on earth. You should not use social media. In fact, it's probably like everything wrong in your life right now. Social media ruins community. Social media ruins personality. We mentioned about the scene in Ottawa. A lot of these bands that we don't like just seem like clout chasers, and that's because of social media, because it just focuses like, you just want money, you just want fame, you want attention. You know, that's stupid. So why participate in that rat race?
Our genre of internet brain rot does not come from social media. It comes from anonymous message boards, mostly. and we're trying to bring back old school internet 90s website style stuff like that.
Can you explain how those websites work and the type of discourse that happens on?
Unfortunately, I grew up on these types of message boards. They're it's sort of like you're sifting through just the worst things ever. Because it's anonymous, people can just say whatever they feel, and often what they feel is hateful and violent and terrible. But you sift through that stuff because a lot of the time this is where the funniest things come out of. And I don't know, it just feels good not to focus on yourself so much when you browse the internet and focus on more of a general discussion.
I'd say the free speech aspect is also really cool. I mean, like, if you have, like, a free speech philosophy, which I feel like a lot of people do have, you have to put up with speech you don't like, and that you kind of face it, like, right away. But then there's also, like, interesting conversations that come up because of that, because you're free to do whatever you want.
Do you think there's anything good in censorship on the internet?
I think when it comes to censorship or anything at all, you have to be very careful, and people aren't as careful as they should be with it. Censorship can be a very motivating thing and a very radicalizing thing, as much as it can be stifle something, especially online. It's really hard to police the internet. It's really hard to, you're pushing communities to more fringe things and more fringe sites. And that kind of behavior is dangerous to engage in. Censorship is somewhat important if you're running a brand or a business online, but that's why we have a website, so we feel more able to post what we feel. We don't have a social media presence or a big social media presence, in part because we don't want to follow the guidelines of Instagram. I think we were in danger of losing our Instagram account because we posted who had the gun to his head?
Oh, it was the JoJo's character.
Yeah, JoJo's character had a gun to his head. And another character was like a wolf crying, and some girl was running away or walking away, and it's just like some meme. But it was like really tame stuff. But yeah, censorship is you have to be careful with it. I believe that some communities should be like kicked off of platforms so they can't just like yell hate at people. But we're not yelling hate. We're not targeting anybody.
How is what you're doing not yelling hate?
I don't think we're yelling hate at people directly.
We're yelling hate. We're expressing frustration.
But do you think? I think I always felt like we weren't like fuck you. Like, which obviously the fuck you part was the funny thing. We weren't like yelling hate. Like we actually fucking hate you.
This is why it's such a complicated topic, because like we don't mean the things that we say. We're saying them in an ironic tone.
Because if we actually do you actually hate women, Sean?
I don't. I love women. But that's what it is, right? I love women so much that I get so frustrated with them because I care about what they think so much that I need an outlet for my expressions of frustration. I just think that we're not, like, going to target, like, specific people.
Yeah,
I don't know. We're yelling at half the planet, which is pretty bad, but we deal with censorship a lot, and it's pretty frustrating when all you want to do is just have an outlet for these feelings.
Yeah. With our stuff, like, I don't know, for me, I thought we were just doing something funny and kind of comedic, and then the hating part was kind of very, like, tongue-in-cheek. Like, do we hate women? Do we actually hate women? That was kind of the thing to actually decide. And I think if you went to our shows or met us in person, it'd be very confusing if we actually do or not. The crowd is, like, actually what used to be majority women for a long time.
Yeah, I think we try to centralize the frustration aspect more so than the actual like hate. You know what I mean? We're not trying to
use self-deprecating.
The hate is mostly self-deprecating. Like it's like I'll say something like, oh, you know, women don't hate me because I struggle with empathy and I'm a kleptomaniac and a compulsive liar. They hate me because my wrists are small. You know what I mean? Like it's very obviously that part is the joke part.
Like I think if anybody we hate. Anything is at least me. I don't like the music scene here.
Yeah, we don't like indie music.
Yeah,
we hate indie music.
Women, girls out there, we don't actually hate you. Surprise, surprise.
We'll wrap things up by by playing Double Suicide. Is there anything you want to say about that song?
Yeah, that song was written by me and my drummer Cass. It's about a relationship which is being held up by just how romantic it is to kill yourself with someone.
Man, it's such a dream.
It's beautiful. I love that song. Most of the lyrics are us, except for one part that I stole from a Greek poet. Yeah. We hope you understand how romantic suicide can be after listening to this.
All right, that's it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Graham, for having us.
the presage of the omen is true. Aphrodite had broken her spirit with the terrible sickness of impious love. A wave of destruction runs over her head from the roof of her room with its marriage bed. She will tie the twisted noose and it will go around her bare white
That concludes the section about the controversial incel core band Dead Virgins. Now, there's another band called Moridori that shares band members with Dead Virgins, and I wanted to play some of their music and interview them as a separate band because their music is so different than Dead Virgins, and I thought this was interesting. Stay tuned. This is The Underground Ottawa, and I'm your host, Graham. All right, we're going to move into the Moridori half of the band now, or different band with the same members.
Yeah, not all the same. It's just me and my brother. Moridori is a two-person project. Me, Quentin, I'm speaking. I play guitar and sing, and my brother plays the drums.
All right.
We're twins.
Yeah.
That's what we
sound. Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention. Yeah. We're twins.
You're twins. Okay. Yeah. How long have you been living in Ottawa and what's your experience of the hardcore and emo scene before and after you moved here?
So I've been in Ottawa for 4 years now for school. I moved here to go to Carleton. I came during COVID, to be fair, but there was like no scene. Even after post-COVID, there was nothing going on. There is no hardcore, interesting punk movement. I was getting into screaming and singing and playing, so I did want to like make music. But yeah, there was nowhere to like meet like-minded individuals. I felt like I was the only one that thought the way I did in the big city. Kaz came later. He moved here a year ago.
I came here a year ago. I like Ottawa a lot. I think it's a good city. I think it has a lot of potential, a lot of like ability to like experience and grow. There's not much of a scene here for our kind of music. So my brother and I, like as soon as we got back together, like living together, just immediately started playing. And then we just did a house show. I think we did one house show. And it's just all our friends kind of showed up. And yeah, that it felt different than anything else I'd been to, and it felt really like maybe we should keep doing this, because if we did, we grew up in a small town, when we would play there we'd get like nothing, There was nothing, no audience for any of the music we made.
Sweet. Since Dead Virgins has such a specific style and persona, can you explain how Moridori differs from that? Maybe in terms of ideology or genre?
I would say there's still an identity. We're definitely more honest. Moridori is like an honest expression of how me and my brother feel, singing out the void of your heart, so to speak. It is supposed to be entirely sincere, almost to a fault. With our music and the writing, it's like hard to play exhausting because of the physical aspect, but just like the themes we're expressing and the feelings we're expressing come from real vulnerable places. And why do that? What's the point of that? Like, are you just stupid? The point is, it's the only way I can get my feelings out and process these things. I compartmentalize. I'll let my brother speak later as well on this, but I compartmentalize and I have a real hard time expressing myself through words. But through music, I find I'm able to find peace with a lot of things that have hurt me throughout my life. So Moridori is not necessarily, well, it's as much as a project for the scene and the underground and the people I love, but as well as for me and my brother and processing that.
I am very anxious and I hate misunderstandings. Not being understood fucks with me, like, just mentally insane. I've thrown my drum kit, like, literally at Quentin when we're not understanding each other, especially when it comes to music. And the reason why I have that visceral reaction with music is because I think out of any expression, music is the best way to speak. One of my favorite philosophers, his name's Wittgenstein. I'm a nerd, by the way. I love philosophy. He said, if God could speak, he would speak through melody. And I think the kind of point of that being that words are very horrible ways of communicating. They force you into thoughts that you can't really express, and you're trying to always express complex thoughts with terrible words. And melody or song or music is much better at communicating those thoughts. So that's why I personally make music.
Just so that listeners can get a bit of a sense of your guys' music, I'm going to play the song Anchor. Is there anything you want to say about that song or the lyrics in that song?
Yeah, it's a very vulnerable song. I was inspired by AJJ, actually, Andrew Jihad Jackson. Andrew Jackson Jihad?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, my bad. But AJJ, anyway. I was listening to the song Backpack specifically on repeat. He uses a lot of metaphor, and it takes me a while to like understand what he's saying. So part of the song was kind of about expressing how I felt through like direct, like almost violent, like not awkward, but like specific setting and place and visual storytelling to kind of be a metaphor for thoughts on being a burden to someone else. I feel like we all feel like burdens on other people in different ways. And that was kind of like what I was trying to express, similar to Backpack, actually.
All right. These next two songs are Anchor and Starlight by Moridori. And afterwards, I'm going to conclude my conversation with the band.
We'll be right back.
Need I remind you that you are listening to your favorite local community radio station? Well, I just did. CKCU-FM.
You know, some of our greatest, most fundamental riches can't be personal possessions. They're the way the world makes purchases on itself through us. So, like the sunset, you know, does the sun ever really set? No. I mean, from a physics and or, you know, biological set, the earth is just rotating, the astral bodies are rotating, and it, depending on where you are, you know, if you stand and you face west at a certain point, you can see the sun setting. But in some way, the sun is always setting and rising 24 hours a day, every day. It's all it goes is rising and setting. But because we can be positioned somewhere with our body, have a forward, face the west, the sun can set. And that means you are the sunset. There's not some sunset. You're not representing it. I think we imagine that. You have a sack of skin and the sun setting, and then I'm just over here representing it. No. There wouldn't be a thing there to represent without a body located at a certain distance, having a forward facing west. There's all these other dynamics that do like work that causes that thing to come into being. That's what we call a sunset.
I kind of want to give listeners an idea of the broader community that both Dead Virgins and Moridori are a part of. How would you describe that community?
I can name specific bands, but as far as I feel like we have a very friendly community. Everyone I have met that has come out to shows are beautiful people, and I am so very thankful that they come to our shows, and it means a lot to me. Oh yeah, and I'm working on giving a name to this collective or community. I'm gonna be dropping a website really soon, and we're giving the name Third Culture, sort of to name this collective and this underground scene going on. I'll mention some specific people that have been like really important in our life that also make music. Loser, they came to our first show and really supported the band. I've heard kind words from all three of them, and that just helps motivate me so much, and I'm sure everyone else. And then also the Candy Boys, they gave us our first live show. There's some really cool people. We play Smash Bros every month. Yeah, and these are people we literally met through playing music that not only inspire us, but also I hope that we also inspire them. So that's our main goal as Third Culture, is to inspire each other and like weather the storm that is creation, because creation is hard. Making art is fucking brutal.
Would you say Third Culture kind of exists in this house a bit as well? Can you talk about this house and how it's shaped the scene?
Yeah, this is Parliament 2. This is Third Culture. I would say yes, definitely. These are our hometown friends. We all live here. There's 7 people that live here. They're all our hometown friends from our small hometown called of Elora, Ontario. And these are people that know the worst of me and the best of me, and we all stick together and have stayed like brothers for years and years and years. These people are my family. So yeah, Third Culture also belongs here, and every single one of my roommates helps support the band in some way they can, even though they're quite introverted. So we love them for that.
Thank you guys for putting up with our annoying racket every fucking day.
Thanks again for chatting with me, and
yeah,
I think I learned a lot about incel core and you guys in general, so thank you for that.
No problem. Hopefully we don't get canceled again.
Moridori is playing on the 26th at Hollowed House with the Candy Boys and a bunch of other great artists. If you
Loser
can,
as well.
Yeah, Loser, Candy Boys. Candy Boys. If you want to get a good sense of the scene, please come. We'd love to see you.
Will it be spooky?
Yeah, spooky. Bring a costume. It's a house show, so it gives you, like, you can talk about going to a house show in Ottawa, which is rare. So yeah, definitely show up. Hollowed House. It's on moridori.xyz if you want to look. Our public sector on Instagram. Come out. We'd love to see you.
All right. Thanks so much. And that concludes this episode. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. I hope you enjoyed, and I hope this episode got you thinking about things you wouldn't necessarily think about. It was definitely something new for me. My next episode airs 2 weeks from now, Wednesday at 10 a.m., and I'm going to be exploring a completely different musical niche. So tune in for that.